We're going to turn, please, in the scriptures to the Psalm 134. And Psalm 134 is the last of the Songs of Degrees, the Psalms of Ascent. I think when we come to this psalm, we can see that the benefit of having a series. I don't think ordinarily we would turn to this psalm to preach upon it, but when we have a series, we have to come and consider it. The last three psalms in this section all have a close relationship, where the subject of blessing and Zion stands together. And so in Psalm 132, Psalm 132, verse 15, I will abundantly bless her provision. And it's the provision of Zion. You can see that in verse 13. And then in Psalm 133, we have in verse 3, is the Jew of Hermon and the Jew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. The Lord commands the blessing. And again, Zion and blessing are associated in this Psalm 134. A song of degrees. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. We know the Lord will again bless the reading of his word. We'll seek the Lord's face as we come to the scriptures tonight. And let us pray that the Lord will have a word for our hearts. Our gracious Father, we pray that thou will be pleased to take the words of this psalm and write them upon our hearts this evening. We thank thee for all that we have gleaned over these weeks in these psalms. We trust that we have ascended with thee. And, oh Lord, we pray that as we come to the great conclusion to this section in the Psalter, that we indeed will bless the Lord from the depths of our souls this evening. Grant that needed help then in the preaching and hearing of the word. Come and graciously undertake in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. How can I bless God? It is he that blesses me. That is the understandable reaction of many Christians when they come across words like those that we have just read. Behold, bless ye the Lord. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of the students was greatly troubled when another student in prayer often said, I bless thee, O Lord. For we, of course, are used reading in the Bible of God blessing us. Psalm 5, verse 12, thy Lord wilt bless the righteous. And we don't question that. The Lord does bless the righteous. But how can I bless him? Yet clearly it is scriptural for us to bless God. Psalm 103, we have those beautiful words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And the psalmist there is seeking to stir up his soul that he would bless the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, it is true that God is the real and only fountainhead of happiness and true blessing. And the Lord blesses us out of his great abundance. So the Lord, being the Lord, as we have here at the end of the psalm, the Lord that made heaven and earth, he is able to bless us out of his abundance, and he does. In that sense, we mere creatures cannot bless God. For we do not have those great resources to bless him out of. When God blesses us, we receive from him what we do not already have. Or we receive more of what we already have. And in that sense, we cannot bless God. We cannot add to what God has, for he has all. God cannot be improved by us. And so what does it mean then to bless God? When we bless God, we acknowledge his excellency as the greatest. It is really another way of speaking of praising him. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And the blessing of God and praising the God then are seen as parallel. They're one and the same thing. When we bless God, we are declaring his greatness. For when God has blessed us, he is declaring his greatness to us. And as we bless him then, we are seeking to declare his greatness, make his greatness known, and make his greatness to be rejoiced in. And so in some ways it's similar to glorifying God. When we glorify God, we are not adding to God's glory. We cannot. But when we glorify God, we are acknowledging his glory. We are worshipping him because of his glory. And yet I think there's even more to it, to this issue of blessing God than that. What does blessing mean? And when the Lord blesses us, we feel his favor. His favor has been poured upon us. Psalm 5, verse 12. Thy Lord wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. And so blessing there is related to favoring. And as we bless God, then we are showing him favor. And again, that is not as if God has been added to, but we are seeking to show that our hearts have changed. That what we now favor is the Lord and the things of God. Behold, bless ye the Lord. And in this psalm, there is certainly a call to bless. So the psalm begins as Psalm 133 does. Behold, there's this call, as it were, to get our attention. Behold, bless ye the Lord. Verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made Zion and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Now, it's generally believed that there are two speakers here in the psalm. So in verses 1 and 2, there is a call to bless God. And it's a call to a group of people to bless the Lord. And we know that because it says there, bless ye the Lord. So it's not bless thou the Lord. That would be you as an individual are to bless the Lord. And of course, that is true. But here it is, bless ye, that is, all of us, all of you are to bless the Lord. And so here a group of people are being addressed and called to bless God. But then in verse 3, the number changes. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And here then it is speaking of one person, the Lord blesses you, singular. Now, who are the speakers in the psalm? Various views have been suggested about that. We're not told who has written the psalm. That adds to the complexity of trying to answer that particular question. Those who take the view of these psalms that they are the pilgrim psalms, which is the dominant view, I think, concerning these psalms, though I'm not sure that it is the correct one. But those who take that view that these are the pilgrim psalms suggest that this psalm was spoken at the end of the feasts. And so, as God's people were leaving Jerusalem after Passover or Pentecost or the Feast of Tabernacles, the people would come to the door of God's house. And they would say or sing to the priests, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." And in that view, the idea is, we are going home, but your work must go on. You must continually serve. And in that view, then, the priests reply, "The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion." The problem with that view is that verse 3 is addressing one individual, not a whole company of people. So it doesn't take account of that change in number. Another view is that the high priest here is addressing those that labor in God's house. And so the high priest, he is addressing the Levites and the priests. And he says to them, "Bless ye the Lord, ye servants of the Lord." And they then respond to him, "The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion." Or some suggest perhaps David is the writer here. He is the psalmist, we're not told. And David perhaps has come to God's house and he is saying, "You priests, bless the Lord." And they reply, "David, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." And for the view that Hezekiah is associated with these psalms, as Hezekiah came to God's house, he could certainly take these words. "You priests, bless the Lord. What a privilege is yours to be serving in God's house." And they then reply, "Having seen the Lord's mercy to his servant, the Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion." Now, which of those views is right, or perhaps there's another explanation, I'm not sure. But as we come to these words and apply them to ourselves, I think we can determine what the Lord is saying to us in this psalm. For the verses 1 and 2 surely are a call to you and I to bless the Lord. And it's as if the Lord comes and he is addressing this company and others like it. "Behold, all of you, bless the Lord." But then in verse 3, we have this assurance that Christ, who is our high priest, blesses us. "The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." Remember those beautiful words, where the high priest would say, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Now, those are the words that the high priest, Aaron, and those that followed would speak over the people. And here our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and he stands over us and says, "The Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, the Lord made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion." The Lord has blessed us as individuals as well as the company of the Lord's people. Now, how can we bless him, or why do we bless him? We bless him because of salvation. I want you to notice a little detail in verse 2. "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary." And the sanctuary here is referring to the holy place. Remember the temple, the tabernacle proper, had within it these two very important rooms. The holiest of all, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And then in front of that, there was the holy place. And in the holy place, there was the lampstand, translated the candlestick in the Authorized Version, the lampstand, There was the altar of incense, and there was the table for the showbread. It's that particular room where those three items are that is being referred to in these words. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. But in the Hebrew, the word sanctuary there very literally is the place of holiness. The place of holiness. Now, for any to stand in the place of holiness, that is grace. The sinner in his natural state dare not stand in the place of holiness. God's holiness once caused us to dread. We may even have resented God's holiness wrongly, as we were kept out, as it were, from God's presence. And yet here we see in this psalm that these priests are blessed because they are brought into that place of holiness. They labor there. And as we seek to take this psalm and apply it to us for the New Testament days, we are New Testament priests. We are brought right into the place of God's holiness, into the sanctuary, as it were. The Lord has blessed us, and we then are to bless him because of redemption. This is founded upon salvation. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we are brought into the presence of God, that we are brought into the holiness of God, into the place of God's holiness. And so we read earlier in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul there is blessing God. Blessed be the Lord, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have a position in heaven tonight. We have been blessed in heavenly places. We are blessed in heavenly places. And we are blessed from those heavenly places. So the psalmist says, bless ye the Lord. And in the time that's left, then, I want us to think about blessing the God of our salvation. And I want to keep this simple as we lay out three reasons on account of salvation, an account of redemption, that we bless the Lord. First of all, we bless him because we can serve in his name. Notice how the psalm opens. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. You who are serving, bless the Lord. And so we can see here is a reason why the Old Testament priests were to bless God. They were to bless God because they were given that privilege of service. They served in God's name. And you and I then that are believers, we are New Testament priests. We are called to serve God. We are called to bring our spiritual sacrifices. We're called to be engaged in the work of New Testament priests. It's only the gospel that has given us that privilege. You remember Adam and Eve when they were in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall. The garden was the sanctuary, as it were, for them. The garden was the holy place. And they served. The Lord had given them a work to do. They served in that place. But remember then, sin came. And as they sinned, they were put out of that place of service. And there was there, at the very entrance to the garden, the cherubim with the flaming sword. Adam and Eve were now in bondage, servants to the devil. As their children were conceived, they were conceived in sin. Why did Cain do what he did? Because he was born in sin, a servant to Satan. And for it to be said of any individual, you're a servant of the Lord. That's grace. That's grace that has given us such a beautiful title. Now, if you look on in that verse 1, it says, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. And now we know that most of the labor of the priests most of the labor of the priests was during the day. The sacrifices would be brought. There would be the sacrifice at the altar, morning and evening. Other sacrifices beside. And most of the work was done during the day. And yet it says here, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. If you could turn with me, please, to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. And so backwards in the Old Testament, just a few books back. 1 Chronicles and the chapter 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and the verse 33. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and the verse 33. And we have here a list of those that had come back to Jerusalem following the days of exile. And in 1 Chronicles 9:33, it says, "And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free." That is, that there was actually a place in the temple for these men to live. "For they were employed in that work day and night." And so these singers were given a place in the temple complex to live, because they were to fulfill their service day and night. They would sing in the night. Why was that? Surely it's because they recognized that he is worthy of praise. And why should it be that the temple lies silent? "He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps." How should it be then that there's no tongue raised in thankfulness to such a great God? And we find it hard to encourage Christians to come once on the Lord's Day to God's house. They think that's a big sacrifice. That's almost too much in my week to give a little time on a Sunday morning to come to the house of God. And yet here were priests, and their attitude was the exact opposite. How can we have God's house lying silent? Their singing then was a service. "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of God." And they would come to offer this service out of hearts of gratitude. And seeing what the Lord had done for them, they would come and bless the Lord. You remember Paul and Silas in prison. And for them, the prison that night became their temple. Remember how they had witnessed for the Lord in Philippi. The young woman who had been possessed and now delivered, her life was transformed. But there was that anger with her original owners. Paul and Silas were cast into prison. And at midnight, they were singing praises. There they were, serving the Lord. They blessed God. And though their time was one of great difficulty, why could they praise God that night? Well, of course, there are many reasons why they praised God. But surely one of the reasons they praised God was this: "Lord, you opened up the door for us to come to Philippi. We were enabled to witness to those ladies at the riverside. Lydia was converted. We were able to speak in thy name. This demon-possessed girl was delivered." They could thank God, though for that moment their witness on the streets had stopped, they had had that privilege of serving God. As we think of this land where perhaps sometimes the opportunities to serve God are less than in other places, yet we're to thank God for every opportunity to make his name known. We're to rise and bless his name. I thought about this mention of serving God in the night. And for some people, night is the time when they think most. They go to bed and they don't fall asleep quickly because their mind is full. That's not usually the case with myself, but for many it is. It's the time to meditate. And as we think of that, our meditation, it should result in rising and blessing the Lord. To be serving at night is to labor in the unseen. And when someone works at night, their work often is a work that is unseen. And so we get up and we go about our business in the day. And we're often oblivious to the fact that many have been busy through the night to prepare the way for various services that we enjoy during the day. And here then were men, and they labored. They did a work that was very often unseen. But they were to still carry on and praise the Lord's name. But then I also thought about those that labor in the night. Those that labor in the night generally are involved in essential services. And so if a job can be done during the day, we expect that it would be done during the day. Those that work through the night are engaged in that which is essential: healthcare, security, and so on. As the priests then served in the night, they were showing here is something that is absolutely vital. Praise, blessing God, worship is not something of secondary importance. And we ought to give priority then to worship in our lives. We ought to give priority to worship in our own private seasons of prayer. We ought to give attention to worship in our family times of getting together before the Lord, and certainly as we meet together as a company of God's people. And as we come to worship, what are we to do? Bless ye the Lord. Isn't it tragic that in our time, worship has come to be not so much what is to be done before the Lord today, but what do I get out of it? Does that meeting make me feel good? Does it meet my needs? Haven't we got it all wrong? We're to come to the place of worship to honor our Lord's name. Behold, bless ye the Lord. We bless him because we serve in his name. I want to see then, secondly, we bless him because we stand in his presence. For at the end of that verse 1, it says, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. This really becomes an introduction to Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. And so here are these priests, they're in the holy place. They stand there. It's interesting that in the house of God there was much evidence of standing. The word pillar in Hebrew comes from this word, to stand. So remember how the veil, it was held up by the pillars. The boards, they were held up. And here are men that have been caused to stand before God. You and I have a greater privilege than those priests in the Old Testament. What a privilege they had to come into that holy place. To come and, as we were talking about on Tuesday night, to keep the lamp burning. To come as they would come on the Sabbath, though during the day, and change the showbread. As they would come and pray at that altar of incense. As they labored in that work, they were doing it before the veil. Before that curtain that hung before the holiest of all. And so they recognized their privilege. Here we are able to do something that those that outside cannot do. And yet we cannot go into where the Ark of the Covenant is. The veil hung there. And I say then that our privilege is greater. Because remember at Calvary, as our Lord said, it's finished. The veil was torn in two. And our service today then is not just in the holy place. We're brought right into the holiest of all. We come with boldness into the presence of the Almighty. And so as we read earlier in Ephesians 2 verse 5, that we have been quickened, that we have been raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heaven is so certain for us, it's as if we are already there. And if we really grasp that, that we have a standing in heaven tonight because Christ is there. How else can we respond than blessing the Lord? I want to come then and see finally that we are to bless the Lord because we can supplicate before his throne. And we can pray. In verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now these words, lifting up the hands, are often in Scripture related to the subject of prayer. And so the lifting up of the hands often had to do with prayer. Psalm 141 verse 2, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And so as there would be that ascending of the smoke, and as the incense then, that aroma would arise up, there would be a lifting up of hands. It was associated with prayer. In Nehemiah 8 verse 6, it speaks of the people lifting up their hands. They lifted up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And so though there was a lifting up of the hands, it was associated with deep humility. Sometimes that lifting up of the hands today, I fear, is associated with the idea of look at me. I'm not saying that all that lift up their hands have that attitude, not at all. But the lifting up of the hands in Scripture was associated with humility. A lifting up of the hands and yet bowing the face to the ground. 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, Paul says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And so then this lifting up of hands has to do with the whole subject of prayer. And here is a very simple lesson that we can draw from this. Why am I to bless God? I am to bless God because I have the privilege to pray. Remember that well-known hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And we have those words in that hymn, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do we really grasp that? What a privilege we have to pray. And we're glad in those times of trouble to be able to come and call upon the Lord's name in prayer, and yet do we really grasp it? It's a privilege. We live in an age of rights. It's my right for this. It's my right for that. Here's a privilege to pray. We ought to sense that in the times of trouble as well as the times when things would seem to be going better. What a wonderful thing it is to come into the presence of the Almighty. Isn't that what verse 3 suggests to us? The Lord that made heaven and earth. We come into the presence of the Creator. Here are we who are just dust, as it were. And we come into the presence of the one who created this universe. As we think of this planet, just a very small part of God's creation, though of course God's created order is focused on it. We think of the nations of the earth. They're so small in comparison with the entire globe. God's word speaks of the nations as being just a drop in the bucket. Where are we if the nations are a drop in the bucket? And yet we have the privilege to come into the presence of Almighty God. The hymn writer said, through all eternity to thee, a grateful song I'll raise. But oh, eternity's too short to utter all thy praise. It's as if we won't have enough opportunity in eternity to bless God enough. We are exhorted then in this psalm to bless him. We are to rejoice in him. And yet, isn't it amazing that as we seek to come and bless the Lord, immediately there comes this reply in verse 3, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. We seek to bless the Lord, but in response, the Lord pours out his blessing upon us. We seek to lift up our hearts in joy unto the Lord. And what reply do we get? Zephaniah 3:17, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over thee with singing. And ultimately then in this psalm we are to be brought to see Christ. I have brought out three details as why we are to be thankful tonight. We're to be thankful because we're able to serve. We stand. We supplicate. We think of Jesus Christ. He became the servant. He came to be that servant on our behalf, to do a work before the Father for us. He came that as he finished his work, he might stand before the Father on our behalf. He lifts up his hands to bless us. You remember, as the disciples came with the Lord to Bethany, our Lord was about to ascend. In Luke 24:50, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And the wonderful truth is this tonight, as Christ ascended to heaven, in that sense, he has never taken his hands down. His hands are still raised to bless us. He blesses us, as it were, out of that heavenly Zion. He blesses us from his throne. And so earthly Jerusalem, it was the place of royalty, the seed of David. Christ, he blesses us from his royal throne tonight. Jerusalem, Zion, was the place of redemption, the place of the blood, the place of the altar, the place of the temple, the place of the mercy seat. Christ is our mercy seat. He is our altar. And with raised hands tonight, he blesses us out of Zion. May the Lord help us to see the wonder of redemption. May we be helped then to obey this call in the psalm. Behold, bless ye the Lord. May the Lord take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen.